Welcome to the Your Courageous Life podcast, where we discuss psychology and tools to help you create better habits, cultivate discipline, and live with courage, aka grit and emotional resilience. I'm your host, Kate Swoboda. Learn more about my books and get additional resources at yourcourageouslife.com. And now, here's today's episode. All right. Hey, everybody. Let's dive into it with this delicious thought. Imagine if you had an additional 14 hours of time every week to do whatever you wanted to do. Kind of fun to think about. 14 hours. 14 hours where no one's bugging you. No one's pinging you. The kids are not going, hey, mom. Like, you get this 14 hours of your life to do whatever you wanted. You could read books. You could draw or paint. Maybe you would start a business or write the book you've always wanted to write. Maybe you'd start meditating. Maybe you'd start doing the stretching routine that you know would make your low back feel better. 14 hours. That is nothing to sneeze at. And maybe you wouldn't want to use those 14 hours for anything in particular, not even something goal-driven. Maybe you just have been craving more space in your life. All right, so you probably guessed where I'm going to go with this just from today's title, episode title. In today's podcast, I'm going to share how after years, and I do mean years, of struggling to create a morning routine, I finally got it done, and how my morning routine creates 14 additional hours of time in my life that I get to use for anything I want. Anything I want. 14 hours of time in my week. That is a glorious feeling. I'm here for it. Sign me up. Let's do this. So, to get into how to create your ideal morning routine and create this extra time in your life, first I'm going to set the stage and tell you how often I failed. Because I failed a lot. And now that I have successfully created this routine, I have a lot of things I can share that can help you to be successful at it as well. So we're going to dial the clock back to the spring of 2020. Ugh, I know. Yes, spring of 2020. Everyone's going into quarantine. I'm running my business. My daughter's school is canceled. So now my kindergartner is home with my husband and I all day. My husband also worked remotely. And pre-quarantine, he would work every day from a co-working space, which I always liked because it gave me lots of alone time in the house. I'm a true introvert. I really enjoy connecting with people, but I love alone time. And in quarantine, everyone was home. So in that moment, spring of 2020, imagine it. I'm dealing with, you don't have to imagine it. You probably lived it too. I'm dealing with the stress of quarantine, plus the fact that at the time we were preparing to move to an entirely different state. Plus, as a reaction to COVID, my husband's job was reduced to part-time. Plus, I'm stressed. I'm like, I've never run a business in a pandemic before. How does this go? How do I keep this afloat? Plus, we're both trying to figure out how to manage childcare and meet a five-year-old only child's needs for social interaction in a world where playdates are suddenly not an option. Now, pre-pandemic, I typically got up in the morning around, I think, 7 or 7:30, got my daughter up for school around 8, got her to school, came back home. The house was quiet. My husband was at the co-working space. I was alone. I might start my day by reading or writing or connecting with a business colleague or designing new curriculum for a course I'm creating or working on or, you know, a lot of different things. Pandemic hits. I was only a few weeks into the pandemic. Remember, at the beginning, it was always like, we're just going to flatten the curve. This is just temporary. It's not forever. But then when it kind of became obvious that this is going to be a while, I realized I was going nuts just listening to my family members walk through the house, much less actually talk to me or say that they needed something. And I tried things like taking walks alone, or my husband and I would take turns, like taking our daughter out, trying to give each other a little bit of time. This was not cutting it. So I just had to do it. I was like, all right, I gotta force myself to start getting up at 5 a.m. So this is the part of the story now where I tell you that for years, I had aspired plenty of times to be one of those early risers, right? I kind of idolized early risers. And I had read all the articles about how like these, you know, the top 50 or 30 or 10 or whoever, however many people are being profiled in the magazine, like what do they all have in common? Well, they're all early risers. That's what they have in common. You know, I'd done all that stuff. And I aspired plenty of times to be one of those people. I had never been successful at it for more than maybe one very tired, very irritable day before I promptly went back to my usual wake-up time. Kind of went, fuck this, I don't need it. But desperate times call for desperate measures. And I was feeling pretty desperate. Mama needs her coffee before everybody starts talking. I figured that out pretty quick. So I said, okay, I got to force myself to do it. I have to start getting up at 5 a.m. because my daughter was getting up, you know, 7:30 or, you know, somewhere in that range. And it just was like, this isn't working. I can't go from sleep to immediately being quote unquote on for, you know, being a partner, being a parent, all of that. Now, I'm sure that at some point in the Your Courageous Life podcast, at some point I have mentioned this story and probably also in telling this story, the Philips Sunrise Alarm Clock. Philips is a brand, and the Sunrise Alarm Clock is a clock that instead of going rant, rant, rant at the appropriate time, it gradually lights up the room that you're sleeping in at the time that you need to wake up, like a sunrise. It's very gradual. It's ridiculously expensive as far as alarm clocks go, but it is very effective at waking you up. Now, here's what I didn't know at that time. Your circadian rhythm is actually set by how you get light first thing in the morning. Since I started getting up early, I've actually learned the research behind this from the Huberman Lab podcast, which I highly recommend. But the big takeaway here for you, if you have ever been like, I hear you, Kate, I have tried to get up early, it does not work. Here's the takeaway. Getting light first thing in the morning is the most effective thing you can do to both make it easier for you to wake up and to actually set your circadian rhythm for the entire day, which is going to affect how tired you are when it's time to go to sleep. And what I understand now is that the reason I had trouble getting up early in my pre-pandemic life was because A, I didn't have enough commitment and willingness to do it. I hadn't yet found my why. I'm going to go ahead and call myself out on that. I didn't want it badly enough. When you want something badly enough, you tend to find a way to get it. And B, because I wasn't getting enough light in the morning. I was just trying to like wake up and raw dog my way to the coffee pot in the dim lights of morning. And that just left me feeling more tired. And then C, another thing was I often was not feeling tired enough to go to sleep at an appropriate bedtime to give myself enough sleep for getting up early. And when I didn't feel tired enough, I'd stay up late. Then it was harder to get up in the morning if I tried to get up early. And I will just throw this in as well. The other thing I would do is try to go back to my regular sleep cycle on weekends. And you really can't. You cannot sleep in on weekends because then you disrupt the whole circadian rhythm and you have to reset it. So this is a 7 days a week thing. And I promise I would never, ever, ever, because I know how hard it is to get this. I know how hard it is to get this going. And because I know how hard it is to get this going, I would never, dear listener, inflict upon you that kind of torture if I could not also promise you it gets better, you get used to it, and then it's like nothing. I swear to God. So getting up at 5 a.m., having a morning routine, and I'm going to talk to you about how you can create your morning routine here in a second. Getting up at 5 a.m., I created the time from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m.-ish wholly for myself. Totally for myself. I fed my own cup first thing in the morning before anyone could ask anything of me. And those 2 hours multiplied by 7 days a week add up to 14 hours of time that I now have in my life just for me every single week. And 14 hours a week, that's basically a part-time job. I have a part-time job of having alone time for myself. 14 hours totally and completely just for me. Now, I can anticipate the question, but what do you do about being tired all the time? I don't want to get up earlier and then be tired all the time. So I want to address that. My answer is that I truly swear, I promise, because I adjusted to it. And at first it is torturous, but then you will adjust to it and it takes less time than you think. My answer is that I don't feel tired all the time. And I think that's for a few reasons. In part, a life where I'm doing more of the things that fill my cup gives me energy. And also in part because I go to bed earlier than I did pre-pandemic, pre-Kate at 5 a.m. And that's fine with me, actually, that I'm going to bed earlier because honestly, pre-pandemic, when I went to bed at like 10 or 10:30, it's not like I was doing anything after 9 p.m. other than watching television with my husband. All that's changed now is I get up earlier. I go to bed earlier, so I watch less television. I've swapped staying up later to watch junk TV with getting up earlier and doing things that I enjoy doing. And I consider that to be a win. And hey, like no shame on junk TV. I too have been sucked into the vortex that is Love is Blind, all right? Like sometimes we need a little junk TV, all right? But when I cut some of that out, I'm cutting out something that really doesn't fill my cup on a regular basis, and I'm swapping in something that does. Also consider too, if you're worried about being tired, maybe you don't need 14 hours. Maybe if you were just like, man, if I had 7 hours a week of alone time, like maybe that enough would be really motivating for you. I personally get up at, you know, 5 a.m. to have that those hours between 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. for myself. Maybe you only need 1 hour in the morning. Maybe that's it. Maybe you only need a half hour. I don't know. Sounds good. You'll make it work for yourself. I also do want to add real quick that sleep is absolutely vital. So if you have, for instance, an extenuating circumstance, like a newborn baby, you know, wait until the baby's sleep patterns even out a bit before you attempt this, because sleep really is critical. Also, if I'm sick, like if I have the flu, I don't get up at 5 a.m. I absolutely sleep in during those times. I'm one of those people where if I have the flu or I've had COVID twice, it's just like, no, I'm taking all the Benadryl. I'm taking all the melatonin. I'm like, do not wake me up. The alarm is turned off. You know, I prioritize sleep when my body requires it. I don't try to run on fumes. But all things considered, I'm here to tell you, and I was absolutely a skeptic before I did this myself, that there would ever be a day where I would ever get up early and not be tired. I swear, you can get an extra 14 hours of time to do whatever you want by getting up earlier. And getting up earlier is 100% something you can train your body to adapt to. And now it is no big deal to me at all, whatsoever. Now, before I move on to what you do with those 14 hours, I just want to quickly recap again, because these pieces for you to be successful at actually creating an earlier rising routine that will lead into you having a morning routine, these are the essential elements. I learned the hard way with all of this. There's research behind these. If you want to look it up, like I said, I already mentioned the Huberman Lab podcast, but these are the critical components. Getting up early is hard, but you can make it easier by getting a bright light source upon waking. The Philips alarm clock is great. If you can't do the Philips alarm clock for any reason, maybe your partner objects, I have a Fitbit and I have an alarm on my Fitbit that vibrates. And first thing I do is get up and flip on the lights in my home office. And if you can, outside light is best. But during winter, that isn't happening. So bright lights in my office are my go-to. Next, I want to let you know, the first 10 minutes after you wake up, that's the hardest when you're not in the routine fully. First 10 minutes are the hardest. That is the time when everything in you will be screaming, fuck this, I'm going back to sleep. Okay, so you have to get up, get out of bed, go somewhere with bright lights, and hang in there. The first 10 minutes are the hardest. Then Keep things consistent. You got to go to bed and wake up at set times that don't shift around on the weekends, because sleeping in on the weekends will put you back to ground zero with feeling exhausted when you try to get up early on Monday. And then it's like you're trying to adjust Monday, Tuesday. You'll finally get back into rhythm Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then you'll be sleeping in Saturday, Sunday. And you're back at ground zero on Monday. It's just, that's torturous. That's pretty bad. And of course, you can't go to bed late plus wake up early for very long before you'll compromise your health and well-being. Waking earlier only works if you have set yourself up for success by going to bed at a time where you're getting enough sleep. So for me, that really is like 8:39, you know, makes me kind of lame when we're talking about late night socializing, but I don't know. I tend to think that my kind of people are also people who are like, let's have dinner at 5:30 so we can all go to bed at a reasonable hour. Those are my kind of people. And if you are hearing me say this and you're like, oh my God, Kate, I'm that way too. Other people who are that way exist. I'm here to tell you, other people who are that way exist. Not everybody wants to be partying until God knows how long. I can't even. So those are the essential elements. Now let's talk about, you want to create your ideal morning routine. Let's talk about, what are you doing with the time? That becomes the next question. And it's a really interesting thing to notice that while a lot of people think that if only they'd have more time, they do all of these amazing things. And then given the opportunity, they don't always know quite what to do. And trust me on this when I say that at first, when you think, what am I going to do with my time in the morning? You're going to be like, I want to go back to sleep. That's what I want to do with my time. And you, yes, have to resist that urge. Bright lights, get plenty of sleep, you know, don't flip your circadian rhythm around. The first 10 minutes are the worst. Trust me on this. I promise. I have a few questions I'll ask you that you can consider for how you'll create your ideal morning routine. And the first one is, what's most important to you? What's most important to you? Maybe for you, it's exercise or prayer, or maybe what's most important to you is, like me, you need some alone time. I mean, if you haven't picked up on this already, my alone time is very important to me. Maybe you love painting and you have like acrylic paints and some canvases and you've told yourself, you know what, after work, I'm going to paint. That's what I'm going to do in the evenings. And you think you're going to do it. Your kids are on, you know, a device watching a show. You're like, great, I have like a half hour, an hour, whatever. But then they're like, hey, mom, I forgot the password. How do I log into Disney Plus? You know, or, you know, whatever it's going to be. The moms out there, you know what I'm talking about. You think that they're fine and they're occupied. And then mom, it's just like, oh my God. So maybe you've tried to do the thing you love, like, you know, painting, and you're just tired in the evenings, or it's a long day at work, or evenings maybe are the only time you can meet up to socialize with those friends who, like you, are willing to go to bed at, or go to dinner at like 5 or 6 or something like that. Whatever is most important to you, put that into your morning. And I really see it as a badge of honor that you can take with you, that you are willing to prioritize the things that are deeply important to you first thing in the morning. Whatever that thing is, what's most important to you, prioritizing that in the morning. Here's the second question. What will set you up emotionally for the rest of the day? And quick one here. Note that doing chores is not it. I do not care. You cannot tell me I have to clean the kitchen because that's going to set me up for the rest of the day because I will be less stressed out. I'm just so stressed out when there are dishes in the sink. Okay. I've had so many clients tell me this. You are losing hours of your life cleaning dishes out of a sink, thinking that is for your well-being. It is not. You can figure out, I promise you can figure out how to not be stressed even with dishes in the sink. So please do not get up earlier just to do more cleaning. What will set you up emotionally for the rest of the day? Doing chores ain't it. I'm talking about setting you up emotionally for the rest of the day, filling your own cup. So lots of ways to do this. One way you might be filling your own cup is just using the extra time as an opportunity to take things at a more leisurely pace. Maybe you'll use the time for things that will bring you joy or well-being. One of the reasons why I use my mornings as my time for writing fiction is that it's a way of starting my day with pleasure and creativity, and that mentally sets me up to have a better day. So my first question was, what's most important to you? And that's about how do I prioritize the thing that is most important to me first thing in the morning. My next question is, what is the thing that's going to set you up, like set your emotional state to have a better day from there on? In the same way that something really negative happening first thing in the morning can kind of spiral and create a like womp womp for the rest of the day, having something really positive happening first thing in the morning can create an upward spiral that makes your day better. Question three, last question, and this one is not for everyone. We're all going to have different things that we want to use this morning time for, of course, and this is a question I'll pose to everyone, but it's specifically pointed at those who have big goals, big ambitions, and there just is not time during the rest of the day. I'm looking at you, entrepreneurs. And the question is, what's the best ROI for your time in under an hour? So again, do not use this time for house cleaning, okay? That is never the best ROI of your time, I promise. And I realize my words are like sacrilege to the people who are super tidy, but I promise you will not get back to the end of your life and go, I wish I'd spent more time cleaning. You won't. When I'm talking about ROI, return on investment for your time, I'm talking about the things that are very goal-driven. So that's why I say this question is not for everyone, okay? Everyone, the first question, what's most important to you? Everyone has something that is personally important to them. And the second question, what could you fill this time with? What's going to set you up emotionally for the rest of your day? That's about setting your emotional state. This last question, which again is not for everyone, is like, if you are that really goal-driven person, what could you do during your morning routine that will move you and your goals forward? If you hate your job, this is your time to apply for different jobs. If you want to gain a new skill, this is your time to log on to Coursera and get a certification. If you have always wanted to run a business, this is your time to learn about marketing. If you are training for a marathon, this is the time to get in your miles or add in the weight training that you know you need to be doing in addition to your miles. Now, and if this last question was particularly triggering, if you actually recoiled at the thought of getting up in the morning to log miles or work on a business, no worries. I gotta add that because I think there's something where for a while when I was looking at all these, you know, you hear the profiles, like I mentioned earlier, of these really successful people, I thought, look at this. They get up and they get more done in the first 2 hours of the day than anybody else. In fact, some of them say this. I am a huge David Goggins fan. If you have not met David Goggins yet, well, you're welcome. And also watch out. Look him up. And he talks about that. He talks about, I get more done while people are asleep than anything. And he really feels like that's a badge of honor. And that's awesome for him. I love goals. I love ambition. I don't love them between the hours of 5 to 7 a.m. So I may personally run a business, for instance, but I don't do it between the hours of 5 to 7. I'm clear that that time is for me, myself, and I. Or me, myself, and I plus coffee plus the dogs. Everybody leave me alone. That's my time. That's my alone time. That's what's important to me. I have other time that I spend on my business, or what I think of as cultivating my body of work in the world. And I don't want anyone to be left with the sense that if they aren't highly goal-driven in the morning, that they're failing. You're not. Like, I think one of the best ways to set myself up for success with my goals is that I have 14 hours a week of alone time. It's so great. Now, just in case you're wondering, I'm going to talk a little bit about time management generally. Okay, because again, that creep can happen where you start to think, I should do something more productive in the mornings, and then the chores and the womp womp stuff starts to creep into your mornings. And that is not going to be motivating for you to go to bed at a reasonable hour to be able to get up early. So I'm going to share just a little about my personal morning routine. It changes from time to time. Generally, this is how it flows. So I wake up, I let the dogs out to pee. And then once they're back in, one of the first, and I turn on my lights. Like I said, I leave the bedroom where my husband is slumbering. And I go and I make sure I get some light. And one of the first things I do is meditate using the Insight Timer app. That app is free, by the way. I am also a teacher for Insight Timer. So if you are new to meditation and you want some meditations to start with, download the Insight Timer app and look me up. I would love to share a morning together. After meditating, I pray. Then I do a brief visualization practice. And then I do something that I always feel a little silly admitting to, which is I dance alone in my office to one song that is happy. And this is another way to set my emotional state. Then I grab my first cup of coffee and I come back to my office where I very intentionally light a candle, turn on my headphones, and play one specific playlist that I made on Spotify that I use as my writing music and listen to every single morning. And I very intentionally do the routine of coffee, candle, same playlist, music every day to create brain-based cues that tell my brain, hey, we're going into creative mode. And that helps me settle myself and drop into writing fiction faster. I sit down, I start writing my fiction. I write it longhand in a spiral-bound college-ruled notebook. I just have always had more success with writing first drafts that way than I do with typing. Most days I'll work on something related to the chapter I worked on the previous day. If it isn't flowing, I'll complete a random writing prompt just so I'm doing something to get that fiction gear turning. And I'll do this until it's time for me to get my kiddo up for school. And then once that process started, I start my official full-time job workday. And then if you're wondering, isn't she super into CrossFit and all that other stuff? Because I know I've talked about CrossFit, running, weightlifting at some point in the Your Courageous Life podcast. That is always in the afternoon. So I'm not a morning exerciser. Some people love it. I've actually tried to do that and forced myself to do it. And I just don't like it. I like the alone time in the morning. So workouts, CrossFit, running, or weightlifting, that is all in the afternoon. I pick up my daughter from school and exercise then. And then to get the big stuff done, I tend to batch process my tasks. So Sundays are my reset days. I get my laundry done, pay my bills, do grocery shopping, things like that. And, you know, I try to get other things in at various times, like just while I'm doing certain tasks. Like I'll usually use any time commuting as my time to listen to podcasts. Or I study Italian using language learning apps, but that's pretty briefly, about 15 minutes daily. But I mean, that adds up over the course of the week. And in terms of learning, repetition is how we retain information. So 15 minutes daily is good repetition. You might then wonder, okay, you're doing all these things, it's a lot of activities. Where are you fitting in time with your kid, with your husband? And that, I think, works for now. Sometimes I've wondered if we really should switch to something where it's a steady time every single week. But what we've been doing and what seems to work is just throughout the week, the time appears. We eat dinner together. My daughter and I have been watching old Fixer Upper episodes together. We talk in the car on the way to and from drop-offs. We usually have some kind of a family breakfast together at a local diner on the weekends. My husband and I walk the dogs during our respective lunch hours. That walk is time for the two of us to have a daily catch-up. What's going on in our lives? This or that is bugging me. Oh, this was really awesome that happened. Weekends are usually for socializing with other families or socializing as a family ourselves, getting out for a hike, things like that. So, and yes, this schedule is modifiable. Do I ever sometimes have extra work that I have to get done in the evenings or my husband does or things like that? 100%. But generally speaking, this is kind of how it flows. And I'm sharing all this with you because I just know that there's someone listening to this who has always wanted to get up earlier, but a part of them thinks they'd just be tired all the time. They aren't sure how they'd get the rest of the life stuff done. And they just have this image in their head of, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to be really tired, I'm going to feel this pressure to have to like get the other stuff like laundry done, all of that. I promise it's doable. I promise. And you'll find your own way. I really do think that too. All of what I've described here is really busy, yes. But I actually think too that having 14 hours a week of free time just for myself through a morning routine where I can do whatever I want, it offsets the increased stress that I might otherwise feel from having such a full life. I am someone, I really like having a full life. I love it. I'm not a minimalist. I want to get to the end of my life and really feel like I was used well and I used my life well. So that's all important to me. And the morning routine is, I think, a part that's critical. So hopefully this inspired you to believe that you too can make this happen for yourself. I hope you'll consider setting your own morning routine. Pick a date, make a decision to try it out. Remember to get that light first thing. I did not know it way back when I started, but Huberman Lab podcast, when he started talking about how important it was to get light first thing in the morning, and I had kind of discovered that by accident, just by forcing myself to get up, I was like, wow, the body is an amazing thing. You got to stick to regular wake and sleep hours, you know, keep that sleep-wake cycle the same. Collectively, it does add up to something beneficial, and you deserve to feel what life can feel like lived at a slower pace where you have the time for yourself and the time for the things that you really want to do in life or that are most important to you. So hit me up on Instagram and let me know how it goes. I am excited for you. You will probably hate me the first couple days, but I promise after about a week, it starts to feel like there's just a way forward and you got this. I promise. All right, that's today's episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast. Thank you for listening. To dive in deeper and continue the work, head on over to yourcourageouslife.com. See you there.